How's everybody doing today? Good. We've been in a series on the spirit-shaped life, spirit-filled life. And so we're going to take a little break from that today because I originally had not planned to be here. For a couple of months, I'd planned to be out of town, but some plans changed. And so I already had my preaching schedule laid out and some worship stuff for next week. So I wanted to just say that for next week. And so I asked the Lord what to preach on today. And he said, just sit down and talk to them. And so we're going to have a little family chat today. I'm going to share some scriptures that he's put on my heart and talk a little bit about that today. And I believe there's a word here for somebody, maybe for a lot of people, that God has for you today. But I want to talk to us about our tagline. On the front of our bulletin, the title is our tagline: Real People, Real Life, and a Real God. And when over 12 years ago, when God called us to start this church, that was kind of the tagline, the slogan that he gave me, that this church was supposed to be, that he wanted this church to be. And I believe it's what he wants his people to be. He wants his people to be real, because life is real, isn't it? And you know what? We serve a real God. There's a real God that's available to us. There's a real God that has as much for us as we can contain and even more. As much for us as we want of him. And so today I'm going to talk a little bit about that as it connects. If you'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, today, people are looking for real. They're looking for things that are real. They're looking for things in life that are real. And although many of them don't know it, they're looking for a real God. A God who is real. Not the God of this world or the God of riches or the God of materialism or the God of pleasure. They're looking for a real God. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, it says, "In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. If you're a Christian, you're the temple of the living God. He dwells in his people. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty." Real people. God wants us to be real people. He wants us to be real with him. He wants us to be real with each other. And he's talking to us right here in this passage about his promise, about where he dwells. He dwells in the believer, the Christian, the person who has received Christ as their Savior. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, as he says here, we become his sons and his daughters. We're no longer orphans. You know, some of the things I want to talk about today is what I believe the church should look like. Not just this church, but the church at large. But today I'm speaking to this church. He says, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." You know, there's something about a Christian that's different, that's supposed to be different. It's supposed to be different than the world. We're not supposed to, we live in a world. We live in the world. But we're not supposed to act like the world. We're not supposed to live like the world, talk like the world. We're not supposed to think like the world. We're not supposed to relate to each other like the world. Now, when he says, come out from among them and be separate, that's what he's talking about. Be different, because that difference that he imputes in us, that he instills in us, that he wants to instill in us through his Holy Spirit, is what draws the world to him. And that's why he says, be separate. It doesn't mean isolate yourself from unbelievers, from non-Christians. I mean, how are you going to lead somebody to Christ? How are you going to lead somebody to Christ if you don't have a relationship with them? If you don't build trust and friendship with them? You see, that's what it's about. What I'm talking about today is why this church exists. We need to get it. We need to get why we do what we do, why we come here every Sunday, and why we sing what we sing and read what we read. And you shall be my sons and daughters. You know, so many Christians go through life living like orphans. You know, orphans, and some of you maybe grew up as orphans here. I know Pastor Bill did. I know there's some people here that have. And God wants to take that orphan mentality out of you, because when he adopts you, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means he's in it for the long haul. He's in it as long as you're in it. He's in it when you're not in it. And so we no longer have to live as orphans. You see, because even if you didn't grow up as an orphan, we're all orphans when we're born. We're born without Christ. We're born selfish and self-centered. We're born as people wandering without a home, without a place. But when we come to Christ, we're adopted by him. And we're no longer orphans. We no longer have to wander in the wilderness. We no longer have to wander through life wondering what life's about, wondering what life means. He gives us meaning. He gives life meaning. And so I want to encourage you today, because God wants you to live. If you're a Christian today, God, and by the way, coming to this place doesn't make you a Christian, okay? I mean that lovingly. But, you know, I went to church for about 8 or 10 years, but it didn't make me a Christian. It was only when I came to the end of myself and accepted Christ, put my faith in Christ instead of myself, that I really became a Christian. So going to church doesn't make you a Christian. It's important. You need to come to church for a lot of what we're talking about today, but it doesn't make you a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, I want to say to you today, you can become a son or daughter of God by faith. By faith. By putting your faith in Christ. Turn over to the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you find Proverbs, it's right after that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. This talks about the value of a friend. You know, we all have friends in life. And those friends are all different. The relationships with our friends are different. You know, it's tough to be a real friend. It's hard to be a real friend. It's inconvenient to be a real friend, because relationships demand. They demand something. They require something. They require sacrifice. Relationships are demanding, but they're good too. Verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. For he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? The one may be overpowered by another. two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not as quickly broken. Real people. You know, God wants us to be real people. We can't be a friend to everyone, but we can be a friend to someone. And we can be a friend on different levels. But at any level of friendship, in the kingdom of God, it requires something. It requires being real. It requires making sacrifice of time, maybe your resources, some of your possessions, maybe. But the point he's making here is two are better than one. That's why we come together here. I know a lot of people say, well, I can worship God, you know, out in the boat or in the woods hunting and by myself. Yeah, you can. You really can. And you really should when you're doing that. I used to go to Colorado every year hunting in the winter. And the thing I liked about it most was not the hunt. It was just looking out across those Rocky Mountains and seeing God's creation and listening in the quietness and hearing his creation. But two are better than one. That's why we come together, to encourage each other as a church family. It's why we have become sons and daughters of God, because people fall. We all fall at times. But what if there's no one there to pick you up? Maybe you've been in that position before and you've felt that. You've fallen and there's not been anybody there to give a hand up. You know, God's always there. But this is another way that he shows himself. Two are better than one. Walking beside each other, walking life out beside. You know, this is why life groups are so important. It's not about going for the, you know, it's studying the word and praying together and having some sweets, good sweets together or some good food. You know, that's part of it, and it's an important part of it. But it's more than that. It's about relationships. It's about building and making relationships. If you just go for the food and to get a word and to pray and go home, you've missed it. You've missed it. If you come here on Sunday morning just to get a word and worship a little and have a donut and go home, you've missed it. Two are better than one. Two are better than one because if one falls, the other can lift him up, encourage him to keep going. And that's why we need to be real people. Too long and too often, the church shuns those who fall. And, you know, one of the things that we are so blessed to be in this place, but for several years, we were over by the turnpike. A lot of you all were there. A lot of you weren't. But we were right in the center of a lot of homeless camps. And you know what I love about my staff, the staff that we have today? I love them because they're real people. They don't mind hugging somebody that comes into the door out of the woods that stinks, that smells or reeks of alcohol or smoke, that are maybe half sober or not sober at all. And you know, we hug them. We help them out with a little food or whatever we can. You know, that really was something that I love about this staff is they're real. And it's real people. You know, relationships, being a real person is not always pleasant. Being real people is not always pleasant. Because there's all sorts of real people. Some of them are not real tolerable. Truthfully, I'm not real tolerable at times. But you know, that's real. And so God calls us to be real. He calls us to be real because when someone's down, we can give them a hand up. And I'm not talking about enabling them. Because sometimes, this is another thing about relationships and being real. Sometimes you got to be straight and hard with people. Dr. Dobson calls it tough love. You know, Jesus used tough love. He loved everybody, but there are times when he just shot straight with them, didn't he? And that's another thing about being real people. Not judgmental. Not judgmental. Just being real. And there's a difference. And our tendency is to be judgmental. Real people. Turn to James chapter 1. All the way toward the back of your Bible. Right after Hebrews. James chapter 1. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. I know I'm doing all the talking, but stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Real people. James talks about fakes. And this is the terminology I use here. He's talking about fakes. Anybody know what a fake is?
Not real.
Not real. We all struggle with that, don't we? At some time or other. Verse 21. James 1, 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness and the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You realize this word is able to save your soul? I actually know a friend of mine I grew up with. Hadn't seen him for years and was talking to him one day. He actually got saved. And I said, how'd you get saved? He said, reading the Bible. Reading the Bible. Imagine that. Imagine that. And he was a heathen like me before that. The implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. See, that's kind of what I was talking about. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. You can come in here and hear the word all day long, but unless you do something with it, it's just noise. Be hearers, not just hearers only, and deceiving yourselves, but be doers of the word. Do what it says. Be obedient to it. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing the natural face in the mirror, looking at yourself in the mirror and seeing yourself. For he observes himself, then he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You see, that's what I think James is describing as a fake. We look in the mirror. We see who we are. We know who we are, but then we turn away and we forget about that. And so what happens is we tend to pretend to be somebody we're not. I know fake is a harsh word, but it's true. Yeah, Christians do that too. See, this was written to Christians. This is written to the church. And so God wants us to be real people. We got flaws. We all got junk in the trunk. Quit trying to screw gun it closed so nobody can see in it. We all need God. We all need each other. We need to encourage each other. So when we fall, this is why we need to be in fellowship, and this is why we need to be real. You see, so many people fall, and they scramble up hoping nobody sees them. I'm good. I'm okay. People come in here. I'm okay. Put on their game face and smile. But really inside they're bleeding. They're bleeding internally. Or they're dragging their guts behind them. It's okay. No, don't come in here and dump your trunk. But just admit, hey, I'm not okay and I could use some prayer. I can use some of this. I can use some more God's Spirit. Real people. And then there's real life. Real life. 1 John, just a little bit farther back. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, we live in a world. Is it okay to enjoy the things of the world? Of course it is. God created the world. But there's so many things in the world that are not of God. Are there so many things of God in the world that He created that have been corrupted by us, by the enemy, by His deceit to us? Sex, created by God, a great thing, a good thing, but it's been corrupted, it's been twisted and mangled. You know, he's saying, don't love the world. See, it's okay to have things, as long as things don't have you. If you've got to spend all your spare time taking care of your things, you probably got too many things. It's okay to have money if you don't love money. If money doesn't control you, it's okay to have money. It's okay to have material things. It's okay as long as those don't have you, as long as you don't love those things. And here's the point, love those things more than the Father. Well, of course I don't love my stuff more than God. Well, don't speak too quick. It's easy to do that and not even realize it. It's easy to have your career or your goal or your passion to make money or to get somewhere, to just be successful, to become the love of your life instead of God. See, life is real, isn't it? Everybody agree life is real? Some of you, what planet are you living on that don't believe that? Life is real. And listen, life takes turns. But if we love the world, if we love the world, life is like a roller coaster. I mean a gazillion roller coaster on steroids. It'll take you all over the place. Even if you don't love the world, if God is first in your life, life still is real, isn't it? It takes twists and turns that we don't expect. Things happen, right? Stuff happens. God knows that life is real. That's why we need God. To live this real life here on earth with Him so that when this life is done and this body wears out or gets diseased and quits, then we can live eternally with Him. But it's really tough to do life. If you do this life without Him, listen to me, if you do this life without Him, you'll be doing the next life without Him too, most likely. That's not a blanket statement. You see, a lot of people know God and don't live for Him. And I know that can get into some splitting hairs. Real life. What is real life? Do you know that most people are looking for real life? All people are looking for real life. They're looking at, but here's where they look for it. They look for it in drugs, alcohol, pills, people, relationships. They look for life in money, possessions, success. They look for life in pride, through prideful eyes. And God says, that stuff's passing away. That stuff's going away. It's temporary. It won't last forever. It won't last forever. Proverbs 8:35. Real life. Go ahead, put that up, Morgan. For whoever finds me finds life. Real life. That's real life. And obtains favor from the Lord. You see, when you find God, when you really find God, you find life. You begin to find out what life is about and what life can be and what life is. God wants us to have real life. Real life. Not a fabricated life. Not the life that we think we're supposed to have. Not the life that this person has or that person has. He wants you to have real life. Each one of us to have real life. And it comes from Him. Whoever finds me finds life. Whoever finds God finds life. And you see, what we do is oftentimes we have a tendency to go through life trying to create it, trying to be something that we think we need to be or should be instead of what God wants us to be. We let people manipulate us and guilt us and control us. But you know, God says there's real life, and the real life is in Him. Real life is in Christ. You see, when the Son sets you free indeed. You know, I said, when we come to Christ, we no longer are sons or are orphans. We become sons and daughters of God. And that means we're set free. We're no longer slaves to the world. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to other people. Yeah, we have authority in our life. We all have authorities in our life that, according to God's word, we're to submit to. But there's so much freedom that comes in real life. And as real people, we need to realize that there is a real life. And real life is not just coming to church every Sunday. You can come to church every Sunday. You can memorize Scripture every week and still not experience real life. Real life, and we're going to talk about this a little bit next week in our next discipline in the series, but real life is spiritual. Real life is a spirit-led life. Real life is a spiritual life. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy things in the world, but it means that your love is captured by God. Your love is captured by Christ. And those things are just pleasures that He's given us to enjoy, but not capture us. See, what happens when we play in the world too much, it captures us. The world captures us. And so that becomes, we talked about earlier, idols. And so, real life. Real life. You know, 80% of people come to church because of relationships. 80% of people come to church because of relationships. Now, if I ask you to raise your hand, if you came to church here, you're coming to church here because someone else encouraged you or asked you, there'd be a lot of hands go up. I mean, that's just true statistics. 80% of people come to church as a result of relationships. And that's why I said, we're supposed to come out and be separate from the world in who we are and the way we act, but we still have to build relationships with people in the world so that we influence them and they don't influence us. Okay? They're supposed to see something in us that's different, that's real. People are sick of fake people. People are sick of fake life. And this world's coming close to the end as we know it. It's closing in. And even the most ungodly people in their conscience know there's something else. There's something else. But people, 80% of the people are in church because of relationship with somebody. And the other 20% that are in church, they're looking for relationships. They need relationships. They want fellowship. They want something that's real. And that's what we better be able to do, is give them what's real. Give them what's real when they come. When they come through the door, if you're greeting, or they sit in a seat and you're ushering, make it a point to let them know that you're glad they're here. Not just, hi, good morning. No, I'm really glad you're here. What's your name? How'd you find out about us? Is this your first time? Show that you're real. Be real. Be real people. Engage in real life, because there's a real God. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. This is a prayer that David prayed. It was probably one of the times David was closest to God. And you know, I know a lot of people struggle with wanting to feel God and know God, but I just can't find Him. It's because you're trying to filter Him through your flesh and through your mind and your intellect and your feelings, your emotions. Had a conversation with a young man in Nashville yesterday about that very thing, about where is God? I cry out to God all the time. I pray to God all the time, but nothing.